Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you that your word has the power to set the captives free, Father, has the power to change our lives if we'll let it, Father. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is the teacher. He's the one who'll tailor, minister this message individually to each and every person in this place, Father. And we praise you for it, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Verse 27, if you're looking for a title, the title is Being Led by the Holy Spirit or the Importance of Being Spirit-Led. That will be the official title, right, Tom? All right. He had to figure out how to fit it on the CD because my things will go on forever. But anyway, verse 27 says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. Let's read that again. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came into him, and Jesus said to them, Do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, Yes, Lord. And he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus warned them, saying, see that no one knows. Well, we just wanted to read down to verse 29. Now, I'm going to share something tonight, a little bit different, but we're going to share it anyway. And sometimes it's really hard to believe this because all of us are guilty of it, okay? And that's a lot of times most of us have what we've done in life has been initiated by us and not the Spirit of God. Okay? You say, well, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, you know, after the ball is rolling and we've already started doing our thing, usually what we'll do is that's usually when we'll pray and ask God to bless what we started. Instead of sitting back and finding out what God wants us to do and doing that. So we'll come up with plans of grandeur. You know, and we just get the ball rolling, and then we see it going sideways, and we say, Lord, please bless this, you know. And I really believe, and we assume that it's His will that we're doing this. We're not doing it maliciously or anything like that. The problem is we're not spending time being intimate with the Holy Spirit because He will speak to you. He will guide you. Okay, my wife and I were talking about that today. We were thinking about all the different times when we just had a know in our spirit about something. Not like, you know, something heavy duty, but and we did it and it was not so good. Okay? And that's why we have poor results sometimes in some of the things that we do, is because we're doing it, you know, my wife would say, in the flesh. And not by the Spirit. And what we have to do is we have to learn to put the brakes on. Everybody say brakes. Stop ourselves for a while. Just learn to wait until the Holy Spirit speaks clearly to your heart about something. And no one likes to sit and wait. We live in a society that is on steroids fast. And no one really likes to sit and wait. And it may seem that doing this way, it takes longer. But when He does speak and you do it, the results will be phenomenal. Amen. All right? And we could avoid, I'm thinking back the last 40 years of my life. There's a lot of pitfalls I could have avoided that I didn't. Okay? And nobody's fault. God's not mad at me. You know, God, you'll repent and God will get you back on track. Okay? And but we have to count the costs. Before we do something. You know, Proverbs, there's an interesting verse of Scripture, Proverbs 16:25. It says there, and this has to do with salvation, but I was looking at it today, and it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Now, that's a salvation Scripture, but the word death there is interesting. It means dead, okay? But it also carries the idea of ruin, destruction, failure, and confusion. And oftentimes when we just set out to do it because we know that this is the way it's always been done, These are the way the experts tell us it has to be done. A lot often time, and you're, the whole time you're doing this, the Holy Ghost is going, don't. You ever been there? All right, but we do it anyway because the expert says that's what we have to do. I mean, they're the experts, right? And what happens is, most of the time what happens is we get into confusion over things. And we need to learn that the Holy Spirit wants to lead us. All right? Let's take healing, for example. I've been around in ministry for 40 years. And I don't know, I'm thinking of a story, and I'll share it in a minute. But how many ministers have thought, I'm just going to go empty out the wheelchairs by praying for everybody? And they go in there and only to find out nobody gets out of the wheelchair. And here's the thing. Their heart is right. And people are saying, well, didn't God want to heal them? Yes, he did. The thing about it was they were moving on something that the Holy Ghost wasn't telling them to do. All right? God wants them healed, and bless God if their faith is strong enough, they'll get healed. But one instance, this happened to us way back in the beginning, before we ever went to Bible school. We got hooked up with a couple people, and we went to a nursing home. Now, I'm not the smartest, you know, the sharpest knife in the drawer, but anyway, we went to this nursing home, and we're in this nursing home. And we're with the other group of people, and we're just there. You know, it's none of our business. You know, they're running the thing. And so we go, and one of the guys that was a leader decided to have a healing service for the people. And he's laying hands on people, dragging them out of a wheelchair, telling them they should walk. Now, mind you, these people are like old. They can't walk. Most of them aren't even comprehending what he's saying. Well, and I'm looking at my wife, I'm going, I don't, you know, like, let's just leave. Is that the truth or not? Well, they ended up getting thrown out of the nursing home because a really big deal to this fellow who actually sent them there. Because the zeal was there, but let me tell you, the Holy Ghost didn't tell him to do that. And it's so important that we understand we have to do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. All right. And so a lot of these people go away, they're embarrassed, they feel bad, and God wanted to heal them. The thing about it is the anointing may not have been present at that exact time for that to take place. Everybody say amen, because that's the truth. Being sensitive to the Holy Spirit is important if we want to see results in our life, in any area, in our life, including our family, healing for our bodies, business, if you're in business, the church, whatever. Only the Holy Spirit sees and knows everything. We don't. He knows everything that needs to be done. And let me tell you something, it might not be the way you think it's going to be. Yeah, most of the time it's not. But that's why it's so important to understand his leadership, all right, if you want to be successful of life. So I think I want to look at this example over in Matthew chapter 9. And let's read that first verse again. When Jesus departed, okay, when Jesus departed there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. Now, apparently, and this is an example of the two blind beggars following Jesus. They heard Jesus was in town, right? People hear Jesus is in town, and Jesus was walking by, and they wanted to be healed. Great, that's nothing wrong with that. But the thing about it is, if you read this, Jesus walked right by them. And I'll challenge anyone in here tonight. Go check out anytime Jesus went by a crowd and blind Bartimaeus being one. There's another one, Matthew chapter 20, where Jesus stopped. This one says Jesus continued. Amen. Jesus stopped and called them. Jesus, it was as though these guys didn't even exist. Jesus was going. Jesus was going. Amen. And so they, then when Jesus departed, they were crying and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And you say, and the Greek word there, the Greek word for the word followed, is a word which means to follow after someone or something in a very determined and purposeful manner. So in other words, it says they were following Jesus. They weren't just like casually walking in the background to see what's happening. They were on Jesus' case. And Jesus wasn't paying any attention to them. Thank you for that. They were determined. They couldn't see where they were going. They were walking in their own darkness, but they were following after Jesus. They were determined to follow him until they got his attention. The verse continues that they kept crying out. You know, and the Greek word for crying out is to scream, yell, exclaim something. Hey, Jesus! Crying out at the top of someone's voice, but yet Jesus did not stop. He stopped for blind Bartimaeus. You go through a lot of these, you know, the two blind men in Matthew chapter 20, blind beggars. Jesus stopped. He didn't stop. And looking at that verse, you wonder, why in the world didn't Jesus stop? You know? They were trying to get Jesus' attention. Finally, they did get to Jesus. But let me ask you this question. Could have Jesus missed these two blind guys? I mean, they were yelling awfully loud. Yet, he didn't stop. And so I was looking at that and thinking about that. And it's a scripture. It's one of these scriptures that you read over and over and over again. And you finally, somewhere along the line, you'll read something else and the whole thing just like comes together in your life. And this particular thing, he didn't immediately turn around and heal them. Yet they were so determined to get his attention, and they were crying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And finally, the good news is they did get healed, okay? But here's the thing about it. The two blind beggars, he asked them a question. Finally, they followed him into a house. And he says, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" And they answered, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. But why didn't Jesus stop and heal them on the road? I mean, he could have just stopped and healed them. He's Jesus. And why he answered them, according to your faith, let it be done to you. I just believe that Jesus, at that moment in time, walking down the street, because let's understand something about Jesus. He was 100% man. And he was 100% God. All right? He was like us, except without sin. But he walked, and he talked, he ate, he sweat, just like we did. Jesus wasn't under the anointing 24/7. Do you understand what I'm saying? So many times people will say, "Pastor, pray for me." I'd be more than happy to pray for anybody, anytime. But there are times there's an anointing. Yes. An example was a couple of Sundays ago. There was an anointing here. Yes. And people were ministered to and touched, and things happened in people's lives. Yes. When Ann Durant was here, there was an anointing here. For that to happen, what took place during that. So, but he just wasn't anointed to heal at that moment in time. You know, otherwise he would have stopped and laid hands on him. He did it for blind Bartimaeus. He did it for the two guys in chapter 20. He did it for many people, this is the only one where he did not stop and go. He didn't stop and minister to them. Praise God. And so, that explanation is okay with me because they did get healed according to their faith. All right? He just didn't stop. And again, like I said, the good news is they both got healed. So we're talking about being led by the Holy Ghost because all of us should be led by the Holy Ghost. All right? We should be able to go down a street and know in our heart if somebody needs to be ministered to. You know, in the church, people have criticized over the years that you don't have a healing service every Sunday. Because the Holy Ghost didn't tell me to have a healing service every Sunday. It's real simple. There's times, and those of you who've been coming here for any amount of time, in the middle of a sermon, man, we'll lay hands on people. I'll do communion at the beginning instead of at the end. Because we have a order of service, it's right here. But the Holy Ghost is the chief executive here. And he can interrupt and do what he wants whenever he wants. We need to be sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit when he leads. And unfortunately, a lot of people aren't. Okay? You know, I've been in meetings with Kenneth Hagin, other ministers of God. And I've been in a meeting with Brother Hagin when the anointing was there. The place was hundreds and hundreds of people. Brother Hagin would start on one end and he'd start playing. And I could tell when the anointing was leaving Brother Hagin. He'd go, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of, in the name, in the name, in the name. And he'd be going real fast and he'd stop. And he wouldn't pray for any more people. And he would actually sit there and explain to them. He says, the anointing is lifted. I will pray for you. Now it's according to your faith. And see, these are things people need to learn. These are things Christians need to learn. Because they get so like, why, I prayed for so-and-so, and why didn't anything happen? You know, one of the things we do is, you know, we have people say, would you come over to my house and pray? And I'll just give you a couple examples of that, too. I had an uncle. He's gone home to be with the Lord now. And my Aunt Phyllis used to come to church here. She's gone home to be with the Lord. I mean, they were at my house. My aunt was at my house all the time. We'd have little prayer meetings in the back. This is way back, like in the 80s when we first started the church. And she'd come over, you know, my uncle was hard as nails. Hard as nails. But he got sick. He got sick. He got an aneurysm in his heart. And he was home in bed. And my aunt called up and said, come and pray for Uncle Rocky. And we said, okay. And we stopped. And my wife called her back and says, did Uncle Rocky ask for us to come and pray for him? She said, no. She goes, then we're not going to come and pray for him. We said, ask him. No, I don't want nobody to come and pray for me. That's exactly, what are we going to do? Waste a prayer? You know, not that a prayer could be wasted, but you understand what I'm saying. So, but as time went on, you know, he kind of recovered from that little stint. And I remember one night, he was at my house. It was late. He owned the original Beachcomber on the boardwalk. Okay? He came over to my house. My aunt was there because they only lived around the corner. And he picked her up. And he came in and we said, Uncle Rocky, how you feeling? We always try to minister to him. And honest to God, he went in his pocket and he took out a fist. When I say, I'm talking a roll this big of $100 bills, and he went just like this in front of everybody. This is my God. And he put it in his pocket. You remember Uncle Rocky, right? Was he a trip or what? Okay, so that was it. So a year or so went by. He ended up in a hospital in Philadelphia with this aneurysm again. And lo and behold, guess what? He asked my Aunt Phyllis if we would come and visit him. So, me, the wise guy, we go up to the hospital. And you had to understand my Aunt Phyllis. She never shut up. I mean, she was just like, she was one of them little Italian women. And so, we get in the room, and And I'm standing there, and I had to say it, you know. I said, I got a question, Uncle Rocky. Where's your God right now? And he looked at me, and my Aunt Phyllis goes, you see it, Rocky? I told you. And she was just like carrying on. So I said, let's go get a cup of coffee, and I left my wife there. Well, he ended up receiving Jesus that day. But you see, I said all that because you got to be, I wasn't led by the Spirit to say, Uncle Rocky, where's your God right now? But that was just being sarcastic. But you have to be led by the Spirit. We weren't supposed to go there and pray for him at that time. God didn't let him die without getting saved. Yeah, and that's how, and there's lots of stories we could tell. And the reason we learned that, because we've done things in the flesh. Like my wife one time went with some lady to pray for somebody. Because my wife, she was young in the Lord, the whole, and God ministered to her over like a 3-month period after this happened, because people were real upset. She went with this lady. She goes, let's go pray for so-and-so. My wife said, oh, that's a real good idea. So they go over to this person's house. She lets them in, and they're binding the devil. They're like going through the whole thing, praying in tongues, anointing with oil. And this woman's probably like, ah. And so they left. So this woman, we were going to the Catholic prayer meeting at St. Justin's. That's how far back this goes. And they called up the head of that, and she called up my wife. She didn't call up the other woman who instigated it. She called up my wife and just like laid it on her. My wife was devastated over that. But she did. And months went by, and my wife was reading. And that's where we said, that lady didn't call you. My wife called up and apologized to the head of the prayer meeting. She says, you know, you were right. We shouldn't have went there and prayed because she didn't call us. But I want you to know, that little baby's healed. And guess what? He's 30-some years old now, I guess. Still healed. All right? God will, you know, you saw the internet, God's got your back, okay? He's got your back. Amen. But and for Jesus, the whole, you know, he was Holy Spirit led. When he was led to heal, it was 100%. You know, we have Luke chapter 6, verse 19. Jesus there in I think that's the one, I don't know if that one is the other one, where they let the guy down through the roof. Jesus, the anointing was there, okay? Then Jesus is teaching a multitude, and it says the power of God was there to be healed, and everyone was healed there in the place. Hello? You know, he was busy teaching the word of God, and suddenly the power to heal was present. That's why we need to be, and if you're not sensitive to the Holy Ghost, if you're not intimate with the Holy Ghost, you're not going to sense that. Okay? And praise God. And Jesus, just look at Luke chapter 5 for a minute. Luke chapter 5, why don't we read this? Okay, this is one of them verses of Scripture. It says, now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there who had come out of every town, Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. That's verse 17. And really that shows us the Jesus being pliable in the hands of the Holy Spirit. He was busy teaching, but suddenly he felt the anointing switch. And he laid hands on people. But we're so pigheaded, we got our sermon that's got to get done in 35 minutes, and it don't matter if the Holy Ghost is kicking you in the butt, we're going to get our sermon finished. And that's not the way it should go. It could change at any second. And it doesn't happen all the time. It doesn't happen all the time. And Jesus, you know, when you read John chapter 5, verse 30, you don't have to turn there, but Jesus told of his complete dependency upon the Holy Spirit. He said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. He says, I can by myself do nothing. That's one thing we need to understand. By ourselves, we can do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous. All right? And Jesus says, as I hear, I judge. You see, Jesus was constantly listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And he speaks to us two ways, through his word and through our spirit. And the more you're in his word, the more you'll hear him in your spirit. The more you're into TV, the less you'll hear in your spirit. Amen. Nothing wrong with TV, okay? I'm just saying. So, but this is, that was it. And he waited for the voice, waiting for the divine signal to act, to heal, and to deliver, or to cleanse someone who was sick. That's what Jesus did. Now, the word judge in that verse of scripture, we've looked at this word before, is the Greek word for a legal term meaning to make a decision. In John chapter 5, verse 30, you know, it's a legal term meaning to make a decision on the basis of the information, like a jury. Okay, who has heard all the evidence in a trial and now possesses the information needed to take action. So when we judge, when God speaks to us, we need to judge that and get the information and then make that final decision to act on it. Can you say amen? And Jesus, so really this is letting us know one thing. Jesus never acted until he had the direction he needed from the Spirit of God. Once that direction was solidified and Jesus had all the information, he acted. And that's what we need to do as believers in Christ. You know, Jesus didn't go with a pre-planned program. Everyone was or act mechanically every time he was confronted with a demon or a need. Everyone was different. He spit on and rubbed on people. He didn't do it the same every single time. Amen. And we get into this realm where it has to be this way. It has to be this way. It has to. We got to have three songs offering announcements. What if we just want to sing for an hour, have an offering, and go home? Amen. I have a very good friend of mine, pastors a big church down in outside of Orlando. And I'll never forget one day. He got up and he said, you know what? Some days the Holy Spirit wants the word. Some days the Holy Spirit wants worship. Some days he just wants to have a healing line. And some days he wants all three. Amen. And that's so true. And me, that's something I had to learn because I am the great clock watcher. What'd you say, lady, back there? But we, you know, we got to have a plan, you know, but we don't have to stick to it. Amen. We need to depend on the leading of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And I'll tell you, the results will be out. Phenomenal. Like I said, we have order of service, but the Holy Spirit is always free to move. So I'm going to ask you this question. We'll bring this to an end because then I want to show you a short video clip too. Are you ready? Are you ready to let the Holy Spirit become the leader of your life? Amen. You know, what we need to do is we need to get intimate with the Holy Spirit. Know when he's speaking to your heart. You have to understand that, and you will. But see, it takes time to develop. It's just not going to happen. It takes time to develop because there's a lot of voices in the world that are vying for our attention. So we need to spend time with the Holy Ghost so we know when it's Him and not something else. You know, and sometimes you need to step out in faith. Sometimes you might may have a faith mistake. That happens, right? It's happened in my life, you know. But, and again, like, this doesn't happen overnight. It's, you know, you're not going to go home tonight and say, okay, Holy Ghost, here I am, use me. You know, I mean, He might, but it takes time to develop hearing Him. Because He's not loud. You know, I think it was it Elijah. Who was it, the one who was in the cave? It wasn't the wind. It wasn't the rain. Elisha. It wasn't the wind and the rain and the thunder and everything else. It was the still, small voice. Whatever. It was one of those guys. It's one of them prophets way back in the day. All right. But it happens as you spend time in the Word of God. It happens as you spend time in the Word of God and you start praying in the Holy Spirit and you're fellowshipping with your Heavenly Father. Then you can be rest assured. You can be going someplace, the Holy Ghost will tell you, stop. You'll get this something, not fear, and it's not even fear. That's the neat part about it. It's not like, oh, I'm afraid. It's not fear. It's just that you know and you're knower. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be going there. And that's where the Holy Spirit wants to get everyone. That's the place that we need to get, especially in these last days that we live in. You better be led by the Spirit of God. You have to be led by the Spirit. It's not an option. It's not a negotiation. You need to be led by the Spirit of God in everything you do. That's why I ministered to it. It's so vitally important that we don't act hastily. We don't do knee-jerk decisions to things. We just take our time and let the Holy Ghost minister.